The time has come for another look at the case of Myron Farber. He's the New York Times reporter whose investigative articles on a dozen mysterious hospital deaths that occurred in 1965 and 66 led to the indictment of Dr. Mario Jaskolowicz on murder charges a decade later. Jaskolowicz has been on trial for months now in Hackensack, New Jersey. And Farber is in jail in Hackensack, serving an indefinite contempt of court sentence because he defied a court order to turn over his notes on the Jaskolowicz case after they'd been subpoenaed by the defense. On the face of it, this is a classic test of the First Amendment guarantee of press freedom. There have been many other such cases in recent years. But certain aspects of the Farber case have aroused uneasiness in some quarters, even in the press. The First Amendment declares in part, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Citing that prohibition, Myron Farber and the New York Times maintain that to surrender his notes on the Jaskolowicz case, even if only for inspection by the judge in chambers to determine whether they're relevant, as the defense claimed they are, would violate Farber's promise to protect his news sources and would destroy the principle of confidentiality. When Farber went to jail early this month, he said, "What I'm trying to do is uphold the Constitution of the United States. I'm going to jail for what I believe to be the public interest." Farber's position, vigorously supported by the Times, which itself is being heavily fined in the case, drew widespread endorsement elsewhere in the news media. But then came a new element. It developed that Farber had been writing a book about the Jaskolowicz case, and in May 1976, soon after the doctor was indicted, Farber signed a contract with Doubleday that paid him $75,000 in advance royalties. Last Friday, Farber appeared before federal judge Frederick Lacey in Newark, asking for release on bail pending a state court hearing in mid-September. Lacey declined and instead denounced Farber, accusing him of having a cavalier attitude toward the courts, because neither he nor the Times had mentioned the book contract earlier. Lacey suggested that Farber had a personal financial interest in seeing Jaskolowicz convicted. It is, of course, neither illegal nor improper for a reporter to write a book about a case of which he has intimate knowledge. Nothing wrong about turning a profit from it, either. Woodward and Bernstein made a bundle with their book about Watergate, and nobody questioned that. But the news that Myron Farber has been writing a book about that Jaskolowicz case stirred up second thoughts in some journalistic minds because of his resort to the First Amendment in declining to surrender his notes. Syndicated columnist Joseph Kraft wrote a piece on the matter this week, in which he said what was originally presented as a pure question of First Amendment rights turns out to be very clouded indeed because of what Kraft called the profit motive. Two separate pieces with the same approach appeared in the Washington Post. One was headed, "Farber Case Dulls the Edge of the Press's Silver Sword." The other was headed, "The First Amendment and Dollar Signs." Yesterday, after initially refusing to surrender the manuscript of his uncompleted book, Farber offered to turn it over to the courts. The judge delayed a decision on whether to accept or reject the offer until a hearing tomorrow. The Times maintains the manuscript is protected by the First Amendment just as much as the notes are. Times managing editor A.M. Rosenthal calls the book issue a red herring. But the notable fact is that doubts have arisen about the Farber case, and questions are still being asked about a fundamental issue, the conflict between the First Amendment guarantee of press freedom and the Sixth Amendment guarantee of Jaskolowicz's right to a fair trial.